WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the student section. My name is Tanner Thompson, along with my co-host, Zach Keller. How are you, Zach?
Pretty good. Excited to be back. Week three.
Good. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about today. Yes, hell of a week, too. Let's see. My favorite, I think my favorite upset was probably Marshall, Notre Dame. What about you?
Yeah, that was a good one. Texas A&M losing as well. App State.
Mm-hmm.
That was exciting. Exciting stuff. I'm gonna confess here in the beginning of the show.
Get it out of the way.
I had a rough week last week with my predictions, some hot takes. So we're hoping to come back better, stronger this week.
Yeah.
Just get that off. That's okay. Off my chest right off the top of the show.
It's okay. Zach did say that the highlight of this Alabama team is the wide receiving core last
week. Yep.
But hey,
yep.
You can't get them all.
Yep. What did I say? Okay. I think I said we're going to win by 31, too.
Yeah, I think I said we're going to win by 21. That's okay.
But we're all off on that one. But
past it. Let's see. So I think we're going to start off with just a little bit of a recap of week two. First, I wanted to talk about Florida versus Kentucky. I think a lot of people were excited about that game. How did you feel about it?
Well, I predicted Florida was going to win by 10.
Mm.
I was really high on our boy Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
He had a rough game. Exciting though. Kentucky impressed. They definitely impressed me. Florida let me down a little bit, but it was exciting football. I'm really surprised that they were able to go into the swamp and dominate.
It was
impressive.
Will Levis really played well. I think they really forced him to. I think Florida's game plan going in was to make Will Levis be the guy, because they knew that Kentucky can't run the ball. They knew they can't do a whole lot of that, so they knew that they were just going to send pressure and make Will Levis be that guy. Final score was 26-16, Kentucky. I know we all saw that first game with Anthony Richardson, and I kind of thought that it was a fluke. I don't want to, act like it's, recency bias, but, he did not have a great year last year, and I think, he had a great game, especially just as an athlete in week one. But, I think you kind of see why a lot of people were concerned about Anthony Richardson in this game.
Yeah, I definitely hyped him up after that first game.
Yeah.
Looking at his stats here, 14 for 35, two interceptions, six rushing attempts for 4 yards. Not exactly what we saw in week one.
Not exactly what we saw or what you want to see.
Yeah, definitely a tough game for him. Especially at home.
Especially at home.
So, yeah, kudos to Kentucky for coming in and taking over that game.
One game I wanted to mention a little bit from last week was this UTSA versus Army game. I don't know if any of us saw that, but that was just UTSA doing what UTSA does. They went in, I believe, final score is 41-38, and UTSA forced it to overtime on their last play, the regular, of the fourth quarter was a perfectly put goal line fade. Like, just about it. Just any coach looks at that and says, that's the example for what you want for your team. And then they battle, like, UTSA almost seems to always battle no matter what, but they battled and they got that win 41-38. I was really impressed.
Did any specific player impress you in that game?
Not really a specific player, honestly. Okay. Just that UTSA has just got a whole lot of refined and experienced guys. I think that really helps them as a team as a whole.
They threw the ball 45 times.
Yeah.
They threw the ball. They had a couple wide receivers who had big games.
Yeah.
Looking at it here, Zachary Franklin, 10 receptions, 122 yards, 2 TDs. That's a huge game from that right there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, high scoring, a rare high scoring game for the Army team there.
Yeah, 38.
Yeah. So definitely exciting stuff there.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Another game. Of course, we had a bunch of upsets this week, but something that I want to talk about being a Georgia native was the App State versus A&M. I have a lot of friends from home that are big App State fans, and it made my week to see that.
Were they at the game, any chance?
I don't think they were at the game.
Long way, but
man. Yeah. You would kill to be at that game.
Yep.
I think with this A&M team, we keep saying that they've got all the talent. I think they've got something like 56 4- and 5-star recruits combined. That's unreal.
Yep.
And to have that and to have a coach who people keep saying is an offensive guru, I keep hearing that, to have to only be able to drop what was it? 14
yep.
against a App team State,
yep.
who last yep. week UNC dropped, what was it, 63 on or something like that?
Yeah.
How can you be an offensive guru with a whole arsenal of talent and only put up 14
yep.
against that defense?
Yeah. A lot of people talking about how much money they paid for App State to come there. I was seeing videos from their, what is it, the midnight rally or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah. Talking a lot of crap. And then for App State to just come in and do that was, mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie, I enjoyed watching that.
Oh, I think every Alabama fan ever enjoyed watching that. But
yep.
let's see. I think Haynes King, he's the quarterback for Texas A&M. I think he's holding the back a little.
Yeah,
he just did not have a pretty game.
No, didn't even hit 100 yards passing.
Yeah, like you, that's almost, I mean, it's got to be unexcusable against App State.
Yep.
But, you know, it almost feels like we're creating another, I don't want to say excuse, but maybe another excuse for Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah.
It feels like, you know, everyone keeps saying that they're making excuses for Jimbo Fisher, and I think that's not the worst take in the world at this point.
Yeah.
Because, you know, again, you have the talent. Maybe it was Haynes King dropping the ball, but 14 against App State, that's just wrong.
Yeah, with recruits like that, I mean, all off season we're hearing how good their recruiting class is. I mean, obviously, number one recruiting class.
Mm-hmm.
These top guys, and they just don't have much to show for it so far.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that goes. Obviously, they're coming here in beginning of October. So
yep.
mm-hmm. revenge game for the Crimson Tide.
That is exciting. Let's see. Notre Dame versus Marshall. We mentioned that a little bit earlier. Notre Dame just does not look like a good football team, unfortunately. For Marcus Freeman to be 0-3, what do you think about that?
It's crazy. And he was a guy, too, where I don't know if you saw the video last year when they announced that he was going to be the coach, and he comes out of the locker room and all the players are there.
Yeah.
Super excited. I mean,
yeah.
you watch that and you're like, these guys are ready to go to war for this head coach.
Yeah.
And I don't know. We just haven't seen much from them these first three games. It's shocked me, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I think I saw something that Marcus Freeman was maybe the first Notre Dame coach to lose his first three.
Yeah, I think so.
That's unreal. I mean, you know, he seems like a guy in the locker room that's loved, but
yeah.
at a certain point, you know, 0-3 being the first
time. How long do you think his leash is? Obviously, three games in.
It's first three games, But, and also, I just don't think the program is as good as people think it is.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because it's Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone's going to associate that with, you know, being an always talented program. But I think a big part of it is that it's just not that great right now.
Yeah.
And so I would like to see them give Marcus Freeman ample chance. What ample chance is going to mean for Notre Dame could be a lot of things.
Yeah.
But
I think they will. I don't. I mean, he lost to Ohio State week one.
That's you know, understandable.
Obviously, Marshall, there's no excuses for that. But I don't think there's any reason for them to do anything crazy with him.
Yeah,
not,
absolutely.
Not now, at least.
Absolutely. I would say that game makes Ohio State look a little bit suspicious.
Yeah, bring that only 11-point victory for them week one.
Week one. Same thing. What did you, how do you feel about Ohio State right now?
I don't know. I thought that their game against Notre Dame, I was like, that's a solid win. I honestly thought that Notre Dame was better than people were giving them credit for. Obviously, once again, wrong from Zach. But that's here nor there. I think they look solid this week.
Yeah.
Who did play? Arkansas State. So we'll see. I mean, they have Toledo at home this week. That should be a win. I mean, we saw upsets happen last week, but So we'll see what happens there. Speaking of leashes, Scott Frost.
Woo, Scott Frost, man. I gotta say, I mean, his buyout was gonna go from $15 million to $7.5 million if they waited.
Yes.
October 1st, I think it was, and it was gonna go to $7.5 million.
Yeah.
Firing a head coach in the middle of the season is one thing, but spending an extra $7.5 million to get him out of there as soon as possible seems intense.
Yeah. But you watch some of those games this year, some of the decision making was just abysmal. So
Georgia Southern, man.
Yeah.
Tough loss.
So for them to pull the trigger on that did not surprise me at all. Plus, I'm sure all Nebraska fans wanted that to happen immediately. Immediately. So, yeah, that didn't surprise me too much. I think that had to be done for sure.
Yeah. They've got interim Mickey Joseph in right now. He's got, I mean, how many games left? 9 to prove himself this season?
Yeah.
You know,
that's good for him at least.
Yeah, you hope he can do something with it.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen rumors or anything. I doubt they're gonna hire anyone in the middle of the season.
We'll see, I have seen some rumors of them hiring, or just this is just kind of a easy prediction, I guess you could say. But Matt Rhule,
ooh,
and as a Panthers fan,
yeah,
take him, please take him.
Yeah, do you think they would do that in the middle of the season?
Oh, not in the middle of the season. Yeah. I mean, I think they're gonna stick with the interim for the rest of the season, and they'll probably go with somebody else next season.
Yeah.
I don't think that, don't get me wrong, I think Mickey Joseph could be good, but at the end of the day, you can fire a head coach, but changing the whole playbook in the middle of the season, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
And if that's the source of the problem, then that could mean pretty poor things for Mickey Joseph.
Yes,
but yeah.
I'm going to go back real quick to Notre Dame because I was just looking. They play USC their last game of the season. They're going to take on Clemson, BYU, and then a couple other. They're going to play Navy, Syracuse. So they got some big-time tests coming up. Mm-hmm. They're going to have chances to redeem themselves.
They will.
They are going to have some chances to redeem themselves
for
sure.
They certainly will.
So obviously that Marshall loss is terrible, but they're going to have a lot more tests this year. So
gotcha.
We'll see what they can do with that, I guess.
Yeah. Let's get one more game in before we go to break. Stanford versus USC. That was something I wanted to talk about. I think a lot of people were going into that. This was going to be a big prove-it game for USC. They've got, you know, obviously the big three, Lincoln Riley, Caleb Williams, Jordan Addison. And I will say, Caleb Williams and Jordan Addison, they look dangerous.
Yeah.
That game, I think you mentioned it, you know, being an offensive powerhouse last week. You were right about that. Anything else you want to?
Thanks, I needed that.
Sure,
hype
to get
up.
One.
Hype me up. Yeah, that was, I mean, it was a great game. I think Stanford, I mean, they scored those two touchdowns. What is it? They scored two in the fourth quarter, I think.
I think so.
So it's a little bit closer maybe than.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think USC looked great. Caleb Williams, solid game.
Mm-hmm.
20 for 27, 341, 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I liked what I saw from USC here. I mean, Stanford, not a great team.
Not the greatest of programs, but still play against USC.
Yeah, yeah. Solid so team. I think that was USC was solid, and who they play next week? Let's see. They are playing here this week. Washington.
Washington.
They play at Washington. Okay. So,
gotta feel pretty good about that.
Oh no, sorry, that's Stanford. That's Stanford.
All right.
USC plays Oregon State.
Oregon State
at Oregon State.
Also, gotta feel pretty good about that.
Yeah.
But yeah. I would worry about that defense a little bit still.
Yeah.
But for sure. Obviously, you know, that offense has the capabilities to win a shootout or two.
Yeah, so and I think we talked about that last week too.
Yeah, exactly. I would be pretty excited about that. With that, we are going to go to break, and we'll be back to talk about some Bama versus Texas recap. And see you guys in a minute.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to the Capstone once again. In the last segment, we talked a little bit about college football review, just kind of as a whole from week two, as crazy as it was. And now we got to talk about some Alabama football. And boy, we have a lot to talk about. Zach, do you want to start off? You have some general thoughts?
A lot to unpack here, obviously. A lot closer than definitely I expected.
Mm-hmm.
Quinn Ewers, first quarter. Impressed me big time. A lot of people saying, what if he stayed healthy? What would be the outcome of that game? But I don't play that game, so I do not play that game. So, yeah, he looked good. Great.
Yeah.
Our offense could not get much going, which surprised me. Apparently, Tanner knew that the wide receiver core wasn't as good, but I have faith in the squad.
Let's not give you too much credit.
Definitely good to come out with a win. A win is a win.
Win is a win.
But yeah, what do you got?
I mean, well, again, like you said, Quinn Ewers looked like the truth, man. That guy was good.
Yeah.
He, a lot of times with, when you have recruits like that, you think that they're kind of like, you think that they're gonna, because you have a guy super talented in terms of the arm strength, you know, he can put it anywhere he wants to. You think that those guys, they're going to be a little too trigger happy. They're going to go for those big plays and kind of be too aggressive and not take what's given to them. Mm-hmm. But Quinn Ewers, I would not say that was the case. He had a really good day. Unfortunately, took that injury.
Yeah, I was disappointed when that happened, to be honest.
It would be fun to see a full game of Quinn Ewers.
It would have been a really good test. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a good test.
It was already plenty good a test.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I was disappointed to see him go down. Just because how good he was playing, it would have been a really exciting. It was an exciting game.
It was.
I would have liked. Yeah, me too. I would have liked to see him finish that game, but it's sports. Things happen. So.
Mm-hmm. Funny thing about watching Alabama football is, anytime it's a close game, it feels like a blowout, especially when you are going up against an unranked team. Yeah. Which I will say, Texas did not play like an unranked team.
Not at all.
That team played good. Those running backs, man, oh my gosh, the amount of guys they made miss.
Yeah.
I think there's 15, maybe 13 missed tackles from Alabama linebackers.
Not
and,
good.
You know, part of that makes you want to say the linebackers have got to be better.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, obviously there's some extent of talent in the running back room over to Texas, but I think that many missed tackles when you have the talented front seven that we do, kind of inexcusable. You got to be able to make those.
For sure. Also, I mean, it's through two games. We don't have a turnover yet. We don't have a forced turnover.
We don't have a turnover yet.
A forced turnover.
I did not think about that.
Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
With the firepower that we have on defense, the fact that we haven't a fumble, interception, nothing. Yep. Like, I don't know. It's a little concerning.
Yeah. Good for Utah State, man. I did not know that they did not have a forced turnover.
Yeah.
That is impressive.
Yeah.
I will say, what I saw when I was watching this game, it seemed like we were living in the backfield.
Yeah.
It seemed like we had guys get to the backfield. And I think, like, if you look on paper for that game, those running backs, they didn't have huge games yardage-wise, but I think the difference maker was every time they got hit behind the line of scrimmage and then took it for 5 or 6 yards, that was what made them have such a good game to the eye.
Yeah.
Because it's not like they were hitting these huge explosive runs, but they would get hit behind the line of scrimmage and they would just keep going.
Yeah.
And you know, being a Bama fan watching that game, it just hurts more. And every time you see somebody get into the backfield, especially Jalen Moody got in the backfield a lot, but he just could not make the tackle sometimes. Which, you know, off weeks are off weeks, but that one was pretty tough to watch.
So what, how long is Quinn Ewers out? 5 weeks, 5-6 weeks,
5-6 weeks,
I think that's
like
what
that.
I said this could be a bold take by me, but could, if Quinn Ewers stays healthy, is Texas a top 15 team?
I'll be honest with you, they sure did look like a top 15 team. Just in terms of, I know we talked about last week on how talented our receivers look against Utah State. I know it's Utah State, it's Texas, two very different things.
Mm-hmm.
But but to lock those guys up the way that Texas did, I mean, to make our top three receivers almost a non-factor for the game.
Yep.
I think anybody watching that game, they see Bryce Young take a snap. Of course, we line up and gun every play. I don't think I remember the last time Bryce Young was under center. But we get the ball every play. Honestly, I think our offensive line didn't do a terrible job.
Yeah. No.
They held it down, but the receivers could not get open to save their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that was why you see Bryce Young take the ball, drop back, have probably 5 seconds of time in the pocket, and still have to get out of there and make something happen.
Yep.
That was, I think that was the biggest factor in the game to make Texas look as good as they did. And so for that reason, you know, they're still going up against SEC talent and they locked it up. You could make that argument for them being the top 15 team.
Yeah. Now, I don't know. We'll see what happens because yours is hurt. So,
yeah.
But everything looks solid for them. Right. I want to ask, what do you think about the non-safety intentional grounding?
That was one of the weirder calls. It felt like at the end, like it was just some weird compromise.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a good way to put it.
It wasn't a safety.
Yeah.
It wasn't a roughing the passer. And it certainly wasn't targeting.
Yeah.
So it felt like the refs, even though roughing the passer is technically not reviewable, I think it may have been some kind of weird combination of, like, because it was called a roughing the passer with targeting on the field, they're able to review that roughing the passer because it's with targeting. Then they see that it's not a roughing the passer. And then I guess.
But usually, if you're reviewing for one thing, you can't.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Which is why, and because roughing the passer was called on the field, it doesn't make any sense that they just called it a completion.
Yeah.
Which is what it was when you look at the replay. Mm-hmm. It was an incompletion. A lot of people may argue that it was an intentional grounding.
Yeah.
But
who was it? I think Jace McClellan was within that.
I think he was within range.
Right, it was him.
And I'm also pretty certain Bryce Young was out of the pocket.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Yeah. Very weird play, though.
Such
very
a
weird play.
And the penalties overall for Alabama, obviously, that was the factor for why this game went the way it did. I think, I mean, to have, what was it, 15? Or maybe not 15, like 13, 14, something in that range of penalties for that game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that, I mean, that was unbelievable to watch. Even, what did Will Anderson have, 4 penalties?
I think he had 4.
That's crazy.
To back off sides calls?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
I don't know. I mean, they talked about how loud it was.
Yeah. I get that, but man, back to back offsides.
Yeah,
tough.
Yeah, that's not. I mean, there's really no excuse.
Yeah, there's generally no excuse. Obviously, it's not easy playing in that stadium. Mm-hmm. It is a loud stadium. Mm-hmm. Texas fans are going to be Texas fans, but
yep,
it's no matter what, those penalties are inexcusable.
Yeah,
especially from the defense. The PI calls were bad.
Yep.
I think Kool-Aid may have back-to-back PIs. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't have that from your star corner.
I thought one of them was questionable.
One of them was questionable, but...
But nonetheless, they were...
Nonetheless, it wasn't just those two.
Yeah.
There was some rough PI calls, which a big thing last season, I think, was why I thought we were struggling against certain teams when we shouldn't have, was you would get these deep balls or these, you know, go routes on the outside, Kool-Aid's there to defend them, or whoever it may be, Brian Branch, etc. And then... they just sling it up there, and then there's a PI called, and they gain, you know, spot foul in college, so they gain the, or it's 15 yards. 15 yards.
15 yards.
15 yards. So then they, you know, it's just a free gain of 15 yards. It felt like that was rampant last year.
Yeah.
And it kind of showed up again today, which is a little bit concerning. But at the same time, there's some talented receivers on that team. Not the biggest deal in the world, obviously. I'm sure that next practice was something out of a movie.
Yep.
But it's, you can only think they're going to improve. It's one of those games that when you're a number one team, feels like you needed, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I got two guys that I want to touch on.
Mm-hmm.
Will Reichert, stud.
Absolutely.
Stud. And then last drive of the game, Ja'Cory Brooks.
Ja'Cory Brooks
coming up clutch once again.
Mm-hmm. Proves
again that he's just got that. He's got that dog in him.
Got that dog in him.
But yeah, that was. I was very happy to see that.
Because
if we can get him going, that's another weapon that. Is there, and then that run by Bryce was unbelievable.
The run by Bryce to slip that.
Yeah.
Sack. I think it was a corner blitzing off the edge to slip
he's
that.
Just,
oh my god.
He's just so calm, so collected. Just a little duck, and there he goes.
A little duck, and there he goes. That guy. I think that's gonna. A lot of people think that his problem is the size for Bryce Young. And I'm not going to lie. I think that plays one of those things where you're going to look at it like, maybe it's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good point.
I don't think, you know, a guy like Trevor Lawrence is ducking that tackle.
That's a good point.
I don't think he's getting below that. I think Bryce Young, he slips it, gets outside. That was probably the play of the game.
Yep.
I mean, that
definitely.
Was unreal. If you, I mean, that and a field goal, of course.
Definitely. Yep, Will Reichert.
Will Reichert, man. But yeah, overall... you know, kind of a tough game to watch as an Alabama fan. I'm sure it was a tough game for Nick Saban to watch.
Yeah.
But
he was
again,
happy after the win. No, win's a win.
Yeah, win's a win.
And then Jahmyr Gibbs looked great, too.
Jahmyr Gibbs did look great, but I will say something I didn't like from Jahmyr Gibbs, unfortunately, was the pass blocking.
Mm.
He had some pretty big missed blocks that if you want to be that workhorse running back, if you want to be the guy who's in 99% of snaps, you got to be able be a good pass blocker for your quarterback.
Yeah.
Especially when you're going up against teams in the SEC that are big on sending pressure. That's what a lot of coverage is in college football right now, is sending pressure and making guys win one-on-one. So, and that's big for running back to be in that offense because he has to pick up that extra guy at the offensive line it's not going to be able to take.
Yeah.
Overall, though, offensively, great game for Gibbs.
Yeah, and then McClellan with that huge run, too.
Huge run. We could not run the ball very much.
Yeah.
outside of that, what was it, 81-yard run, I think it was, for a touchdown for
yeah.
Chase McClellan?
Yeah.
Outside of that, we just cannot get the ball running. And if we want to succeed against these big teams, like once we get into these playoffs and we start playing truly competitive teams, you need a respectable run game.
Yeah.
You're not going to win those games.
Yeah.
Georgia's defense is too good to not have a run game against.
Yeah. Jahmyr Gibbs definitely showed up in the receiving game.
Oh, positive. Yeah. That was his big thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, I was impressed with that. Mm-hmm. But
call me a broken record here, but Bryce Young is so incredible at football. And I don't think the stat sheet reflected how good he was that
game. I know.
Because he was given very little. The offensive line kind of held up and he was given time. But I don't think I've ever seen Bryce Young play a game to where he drops back and he can't find a read just at all.
Yeah.
You don't see that very often.
Yeah.
So for him to do what he did, especially towards the end of the game, when he gets out of the pocket and he makes that ridiculous throw to Jahmyr Gibbs, I think he's literally stepping back. I think he just missed a tackle and lasers one to Jahmyr Gibbs. Yep. That was an incredible play. This guy is in that final drive overall to win that game.
He's just clutch, dude.
He's just clutch.
And if I'm an NFL team and I'm not thinking about taking this guy top three, I think you're crazy.
Bryce Young clutch, to the Panthers, dude. 2023 incoming.
He's awesome.
I think it's really helped his case versus C.J. Stroud. As good as C.J. Stroud is and the numbers he puts up, I think obviously Bryce Young got the Heisman last year, so that's kind of already gives him a slight edge, but I think I talked about this a little bit last week, how NFL teams are still kind of seeing C.J. Stroud as QB1 this year.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think it's only because of the size. I think if you have Bryce Young at, 6'3", 6'4", then he's one of the better quarterback prospects we've seen in a long time. Overall, great game from Bryce Young. Not a great game from most everything else.
Yeah.
That was a fun to watch, I guess, as a sports fan.
Probably more fun for non-Alabama or Texas fans.
Yeah. I know Georgia fans were sitting there. I bet they're having a great time.
But. Yeah. But yeah, great game.
Great game.
That's college football. That's why it's the
college
best.
Football, man. It's not much you can say about that. Let's see. Do you have anything else from that game? You want to move on a little bit?
Will Reichert's clutch too.
He sure is.
Is he the best kicker in Alabama history?
Ooh, he may be. I wonder. I don't think it's an unfair take.
Nice.
I don't think it's unfair at all.
He's clutch too, man. Like,
yeah,
just big time.
Mm-hmm.
You always, same thing with Bryce. If you have the ball in Bryce's hand and he has any time left in the fourth quarter, you as an Alabama fan, you're just watching like. You have so much faith that he's going to make a play. And that's exactly how I feel about Will Reichert every time.
Absolutely.
No matter the situation, no matter how far, I feel like he can make every single kick.
Yeah. When I was watching the game, I saw Texas make that field goal late. And it would have been nice for him to miss it again, but he makes it. And then Texas fans go nuts. And I think I saw a video of a guy chugging a beer out of a shoe.
Oh, yeah, that was college game day. Yeah.
Yeah, that is just that one. That's
wow, what a transition from Tanner there.
But that was, I think it was a Texas fan, though.
Yes, it was.
Okay, yeah. I think that was when I saw it field goal happen and we had, what was it, minute 30 probably? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Something in that range. That was awesome to watch Bryce Young go lead that drive. Mm-hmm. So something felt like he was going to go get it. I didn't say anything out loud because I'm a sports fan.
But
I know how it works. But in my brain, in my brain, I felt like he was going to step up and we were going to have a good run.
And it was kind of the same feeling as the Auburn game last year. Like, we haven't been able to do anything offensively, but he has time and he's Bryce Young and you still have confidence that he's going to make a play when he needs to.
Absolutely. All right, when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about the preview for Bama next week against ULM. And then after that, we're going to get into some just the rest of the college football week previews. But other than that, we'll see you guys in a second.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the last segment of the Student Section Podcast. Right now, we're going to do a little bit of college football preview for this next week. We did a little bit of Bama, Texas last segment. Now let's get some Bama ULM predictions going. Zach, what do you think about this game?
Well, we're just talking about it. Me and Tanner in agreement that this has got to be we want to see a dominating performance. Mm-hmm.
Got to be
a tie this weekend.
Leave no doubt
yep.
in the game.
Yep. Like just 49.5 point favorite we are this weekend. This one should not be close.
It should not be close. What
does it need to be close?
I think basing off just the standard of Alabama football and honestly what I need to see improve. We know that our receivers can do well against a bad team. So that's not exactly what I'm going to be looking at that much this week. The biggest thing I'm going to be looking at is, again, the corners. I want to see minimum penalties on go routes because that's one of those things that no matter what the team is, if you're committing a PI, you're committing a PI. So it'd be nice to see those corners resoundingly block up ULM's best guys. Obviously, penalties need to just shortened yeah. by, I mean, fit from 15. Like, you have yeah. to have minimum penalties.
Yeah.
Minimum penalties. And I'm sure we will improve. I have very little doubt about that. Is there anything you want to see specifically from this game?
Yeah, just definitely the corners. I agree with that. Maybe get the running game going a little bit.
Yeah.
Nice. Jahmyr Gibbs, hopefully, you talked about it earlier on the pass blocking.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just little stuff, less penalties.
Yeah.
Coach Saban, I don't know if you saw, had a bit of a rant either today or yesterday.
Yeah.
Someone asked him about quality of opponent. And he's just basically said, no, we got to play our best every single week, no matter what the score is, no matter what team you're playing. So hopefully we see that this week.
I don't know when people are going to stop asking Nick Saban any question related to quality of opponent, because I cannot name a single time his answer has been anything positive.
Yep.
But
he's right, though. I mean, we got to he's got to come to play.
Right. You would think they would learn by now, but they unfortunately have not.
Yeah.
But yeah. I agree with the running game. We, again, like I kind of said this earlier, but we line up and gun every snap on offense. And sometimes pistol, but that's it. Sometimes we'll have split. We'll have two running backs in the backfield. But if we want to be doing that every single snap, we need to be able to run the ball out of gun. And it just seems like something that we have not been super successful at. I don't know how much you want to change. Well, obviously, he's not going to change the playbook. Well, that would make sense midseason. But in my ideal world, I'd like to see them throw in, you know, just the occasional single back,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's something you can still run the ball out of and you can still pass relatively successfully out of. Again, I probably won't see it because we, again, end of the day,
yeah.
2-0, two yeah. wins. But if we don't have a good run game, it's going to be really hard to succeed against top tier teams.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the boys are going to bounce back well this week.
I think they're going to bounce back real well. Absolutely. Let's get into a little bit of the rest of college football preview. Is there any other big games you want to talk about?
I'm looking at Penn State-Auburn.
Mm.
I think that's going to be a great game. It is at Auburn?
I believe it's at Auburn. Could be wrong. We'll figure it out in a second.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that game. Penn State is a three-point favorite in that one.
Penn State's a three-point
favorite. So I think that's going to be a great game, a huge test for both teams.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited. I think that's going to be a good one. Let me see.
Yeah.
At Auburn.
At Auburn.
Yep. Penn State's favored going into Auburn. So,
gotcha.
Big test for that team.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
For that one. What about you?
Lots to look forward to there. I think a game I'm excited about is going to be BYU and Oregon.
Yeah, that's good.
I think BYU has looked really good in these first 2 weeks. And again, they've got a good offensive line. They've got a good front seven on defense. Their quarterback looks good. I think if they can beat Oregon here, it's going to speak a lot for their program, especially this year, because they're a 12 seed right now, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And Oregon's they want to be, you know, if they can beat Oregon, and I think they've got a few other good matchups like Arkansas later on, then that can actually be a playoff team.
Yeah.
Which would be fun to watch. Obviously, Oregon has not had a good start to the season, unfortunately. Bo Nix is going to have to step up like crazy. But
Oregon's favored 3.5.
Oregon's favored 3.5.
At Oregon, so tough place to play.
Yeah, that's fair.
We'll see how BYU handles that. Definitely a huge test for that team.
Yeah.
That's going to be a good one, though.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. What else we got? I've got Kansas-Houston. That's what I'm excited about.
I like that. It's a dark horse one.
Yeah, a little one that could go either way. I really like Kansas just as a team. I'm a big fan of Leupold, I think his name is. Yeah, Lance Leupold. He's the Kansas coach right now. He's been a good coach wherever he's coached so far in his career, and Kansas used to be one of, if not the worst, Power 5 team out there, and he's turned them into a competitive team.
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping to see more improvement from Kansas.
56 points in their first game, 55 in their second game. That's big time.
Averaging, and I think it took them to overtime to get 55 in the second one.
Yeah, but
56 and 55 back-to-back, that's an offense.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And Houston this year has not been great against – they've let up some big plays, and I think that's a big part of Kansas's offense right now. So I think Kansas is favored. I think Houston's favored.
Yeah, nine
points.
Yep.
So this is my little, I guess, upset pick for the week. But I really like
Kansas.
Houston here.
Spread or to win?
To what?
You think Kansas is going to win?
Although I think they'll definitely
cover
be the spread. They'll definitely be the spread.
All right,
but
I
like them to win.
I
like them to win.
That's a good pick.
That's my little.
I'm looking at Kansas is going to have some solid games. They're going to have. Mm-hmm. They have Iowa State. They got Oklahoma, Baylor, Texas. They have a good schedule.
Yeah.
So they're gonna have some tests for that team. I like that though. A little upset pick from Canada here.
Mm. Let's see, one game that I am excited about. I think we just because of the games we talked about earlier, Texas versus UTSA next week. Something tells me about this one. We all know what UTSA is. UTSA is just a funny team. I don't think there's any other good way to describe it. But if there were to be a crazy upset that I choose this week.
Another upset?
If there were to be one. If there were to be, not exactly the same extent. Not quite a Marshall Notre Dame upset. But if there were one of those that I had to choose this week, it's going to be UTSA beating Texas.
I like it.
I think Texas, obviously, this could go a whole lot of ways. But Texas, I think they're going to be a little bit on the hungover from this past game, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And UTSA has got some experienced dudes on that team, really refined guys. They've battle-tested, if you want to say that.
Yeah.
They have played in a lot of games, and they battle every time, no matter who they're playing.
All right.
I think this is my other little fun upset pick.
And backup quarterback now for Texas, too.
Backup quarterback.
You got a 12-point – Texas is favored by 12 points in this one. So. Yeah.
So that's not quite the – I'm not sure. What was the Marshall Notre Dame spread?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I'd be curious.
I'll get back to you that in a second. Okay. What do you think about the Georgia-South Carolina game?
I mean, what I think is that there is not a whole lot to think about.
You don't think it's Spencer Rattler season?
I think we already know it's not Spencer Rattler season. I think he's got 3 picks and 2 touchdowns through 2 games, something like that.
That's not bad.
You're right. He's almost tied on touchdown to
receiving ratio. I have a buddy that goes to South Carolina, so I figured I would get him in the show here.
Good call.
Give a little South Carolina love.
Fight for South Carolina. For
hey, Georgia is only a 24.5 point favorite.
Only 24.
You'd think it'd be more.
To
be
honest. You'd think it'd be more.
Maybe that's my upset pick of the week.
Georgia has just looked like the most dominant.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's big for Alabama to get one of these, to get another leave no doubt win.
Because
that's all Georgia's had so far. And they've played Oregon and Samford.
Yeah.
So it's, not exactly 2 huge contest teams. But, they've showed no signs of slowing down.
Yep.
I'm not sure. Do they have I'm not sure when their next top 25 team matchup is.
I think I saw they have kind of a similar home schedule to us this year.
Gotcha.
They got Auburn in 2 weeks. They play Florida. They play Tennessee. They play Kentucky, Mississippi State. So they got a little something.
They got some competition.
Yeah.
It's tough to relate these guys when you have Georgia being as dominant as they are right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I like
obviously like Georgia against South Carolina.
Okay.
A lot. I imagine Georgia will also.
Are they covering that spread?
I think they're covering that spread commonly.
Wow.
Spencer Rattler hasn't been able to do much against non-Georgia defenses. I cannot imagine he'll do more against a Georgia defense. But we will see. As much as I hate to give Georgia credit, that team is real good. Who's that defensive tackle? Jalen Carter?
I'm the wrong guy to ask.
Please. We'll see. I think it's Jalen Carter. But that guy's talented. Again, I mean, those three tight ends we talked about a little bit last week, those guys are dogs. Yeah. We joke about dogs, but those guys are dogs. But yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, Jalen Carter, you nailed it.
Let's go. I'm so excited. I'm so good at this. Let's see. Did we talk about LSU, Mississippi State?
We did not.
Speaking of dogs.
What do you got?
Let's see. I'm not sure what the spread is for LSU, Mississippi State. I'm sure you'll get that to me in a second.
Do you have a pick in this game?
I think my pick is going to be Mississippi State.
They're favored by 2.5 points.
Mississippi State is?
And they are, yes.
Mississippi State has been pretty good defensively. I didn't really see it coming this year, but they really have been pretty surprisingly impressive so far. And I will say, though, that Mississippi State defense does love to throw the ball around. And the LSU defense...
You mean offense? Mississippi State offense.
Mississippi State offense loves to throw the ball around. The LSU defense, one of their strengths is sending pressure and being able to handle guys over the top. So that's going to be a pretty big challenge for LSU.
Yep.
But...
I'm with you on this one. I like Mississippi State.
You like Mississippi State? Yeah. Perfect. Any other games you want to talk about real quick before we get out of here?
I think that's it for me.
That's it for
it
you.
Should be another exciting week of college football.
Exciting week of college football. Now we just have to wait to see how wrong we are next week.
Yes, it's my favorite.
Maybe Zach will confess at the beginning of the next one as well.
No, this is I'm different this week.
Different you this week?
Keep an eye on it for South Carolina.
New Zach incoming. Watch out. Alrighty. This has been the student section. My name is Tanner Thompson.
I'm Zach.
Zach Kelleher. Got it right again.
Yes, sir. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. You guys have a good night.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.